This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
You're listening to Free FM 89.0, Tuia Marae Otahapori. This is Ballot Box 23, an opportunity to meet some of the candidates hoping to get your vote in this year's general election. It's 21 past one now. I'm Mike Williams, and joining me in the studio is our second guest for today, Susan Stevenson, who is a candidate for the ACT Party for Hamilton West, number 32 on the list. Kia ora, Susan. Thank you for coming in.
I'll just correct you there. I'm 31 on the list. I've moved up.
You've moved up a little bit. Okay. Yes. That was the last information I had said 32, so there we go. Okay. Tell me a bit about who you are and where you've come from, and then we'll explore your candidacy and your background.
Okay. So I actually grew up in Southland on a sheep and cattle farm. My father, I think, must have been the first sustainable farmer in New Zealand, refused to use all sorts of sprays and things on his farm. So I grew up in, I think of it now as quite an idyllic place. I went to Gore High School. I went into teacher training at the Dunedin College of Education, then to the University of Otago, Massey University. So I've spent the majority of my life in education. I represented New Zealand on a United Nations scholarship where I went to Alabama, which was a very interesting place to visit in those days, and I guess that introduced me to the impacts of racism and those sorts of things. I have been working in the education sector, preschool, primary school, secondary school, politics, wānanga, universities, the whole gambit. And in 2006, I started an education consulting company to support the quality of education, working with various people, and I continue to do that to this day. I'm also a wellbeing researcher, and I run the Freedom Wellbeing Institute. Again, this is about trying to help people stay well instead of waiting for them to get sick and dropping an ambulance in at their place. So I'm very proactive, and I'm really into transforming and doing the best we possibly can.
Seems like a big jump from that side of things into the political world. What triggered that?
Well, it's interesting. Probably a conversation on the sofa with my husband. My husband has belonged to the ACT Party for a number of years and kind of introduced me to their policies. And over years, I've seen them grow and change from their initial starts to now being a party that really has great policies that go across the whole range of government. And with education being a passion for me, I will say that when I found last year that over 60% of our children are not regularly attending school, and we've got this soaring crime rate, I thought, you know, as I said to my husband, I can either stand for the ACT Party and be on the side of doing something about this, or, you know, I can be one of the moaners on the sofa. So with that challenge in hand, and what I saw happening in education, decreasing educational achievement, I have young children in our family. I'm extremely worried about their futures, and I've always been a great believer in the power and transformation of education. And now, as I work with schools and teachers and teacher aides and various organisations, I just see so many things that we used to take for granted that were there in the education system have disappeared. For example, when I trained as a teacher, I would say teachers today would be lucky to have 25% of the education training and experience that I received. So these are very, very worrying things to happen, and I thought I want to get involved in doing what I can to change this. So that's really been my biggest motivation for getting involved in politics.
Well, getting involved as a candidate means, you know, if you end up with the job, that throws a big spanner in the works in terms of the other stuff that you're doing. Is that able to continue without you?
Absolutely. I have a wonderful team of people that do work with me. And if I go about doing something, I'm going to put my heart and soul into doing the best job I possibly can. And so I made sure I worked that through with my team and people I work with, that things could carry on. And obviously, since I've been doing this work in my company since 2006, I do have a great team around me. So I'm prepared for whatever might come.
It's a tough world, though, isn't it? And campaigning isn't for the faint of heart. How are you finding it?
Well, to be quite honest, when I took this on, I fully expected to have all sorts of accusations and hostility. I was kind of prepared for that. But I have to be honest with you, I haven't experienced it. In my time campaigning, you know, I've spent time in Pukete and Norton and Dinsdale and Glenview and in the central city. I must say I feel like I've enjoyed fantastic support. I see there's a real hunger for people. A lot of people are like, I'm not really sure what I'm being told about ACT is right. And so you're able to give them solid information or send them policies. And so I see a groundswell of people asking for information and wanting to get the story straight. And so it's great to be part of that journey. And if we have the solutions, which I think many people are finding we do, then I think that support will just continue to grow.
I want to just delve into your rationale for going with the ACT Party initially anyway, because you don't seem to me to be the kind of person who would say, my husband believes in all this, so therefore I'm going to. You must have delved into it. Were there other parties that came close in terms of what they were doing that could have attracted you?
Well, I will tell you, historically in my life, I have been invited to consider being a candidate for both National and Labor, but I'm a person who cannot advocate for something I don't firmly believe, and I certainly test the truth of things. So I didn't go in sort of wide-eyed and innocent. I actually went in going, do I want to be associated with this? You know, I'm a critical thinker. I've probably spent too long in universities. But I found the people to be really genuine and caring and very passionate. So really compelling for me was the position that ACT takes of doing everything based on four principles. One is that we support individual freedom, that people can make their own choices, that we preserve that because it is something that's disappearing. We also support people to be personally responsible. We cannot have freedom without having responsibility. So those two things walk together. And then ACT has a real concern with looking after the environment. We've got a lot of research and scoping to get a full picture of what's happening in New Zealand's environment. And of course, I think we've always been strong in terms of financial and economic management. But the last key point that really, I guess, interests me most is about creating the best possible quality of life for people in New Zealand. And I will say that when I was at a food bank recently, I saw a young family take a parcel of food, walk out of the food bank, turn around the corner, bang, gang member takes all the food off them. And I thought, this is really something, that people leaving a food bank are being robbed, you know, and I guess it kind of sums up for me the kind of things that have started happening that we've just begun to turn a blind eye to. Or, and the one thing I say about ACT is they don't duck away from the difficult issues. And for me, having that courage, let's face it, it's easy to go yes, yes, yes and run after the different lollies and baubles that political parties are throwing out at the moment. But I think it's a distraction from the core things that we need to be focused on, like the cost of living, like the level of crime we've got, like looking after the equality of all people in this country so we continue to move together. Health, education, of course, are big concerns for me. So to me, we need to focus on the core and be careful of the decorations that come up at this time of year and tend to distract people from making good, solid, information-based decisions.
As you rightly said before, the Hamilton West electorate is a complex one. It's got lots of different aspects to it, lots of different issues that it's facing. What do you think are the biggest and most pressing of all those issues in your mind facing Hamilton West at the moment, and things that you could personally get involved in?
I think one of the biggest issues that I hear about from every second person I meet is crime. You know, I must admit I was over in Pukete door knocking, and the first person whose door I knocked told me about their son coming home from school, being beaten up by a group of people in a car driven by an older person, how their son had never left the house since that happened, and now they were moving their son to live with another son in Australia. But this is a common story. Another story, meeting a person at a food bank again who'd had literally had nothing, had an old dunga car and had had that stolen. So in order to get to their retirement, this person was coming to a food bank to get food so they could afford the bus to go to their job. And I thought, you know, this is awful. This person knew who'd stolen their car but couldn't get any action on it. So my husband and I bought the Public Trust Building. We've been restoring it for 10 years. And across the road from me, there are 5 ram raid sites. Around the corner, there's another one. Then the centre place. So we really can't get away from that. And I would also say, in my work in schools and education, I'm seeing the impact of gang behaviours coming into schools. And I'm seeing many teachers and schools struggle to recognise what is happening in their school, because unless you've worked with gang members, you don't really realise that's a gang initiation going on down the back paddock of your school. So these are some of the issues that are really front and centre. I'd like to be focused on nothing but supporting, you know, improvements in children attending school and lifting their achievement levels. But I think people need to feel safe as a priority. And I do think that that's a core responsibility of government, is that everybody can actually feel safe.
Well, this is my what-if question for you then. What if you find yourself in Parliament as part of a coalition government, but perhaps as, you know, as luck would have it, you end up MP for Hamilton West. So you're a constituent MP representing the people in this electorate. Mm-hmm. In a coalition government situation,
yes,
what would you expect your role in that arrangement to be? I mean, how effective could you be for Hamilton West in that kind of environment?
Well, I'm a person who spent my life involved in transformation, and I like to think that with good information and good relationships that you can bring about and influence change. And I certainly would be wanting the people of Hamilton West to have a safer place to live. I'd also like to see the cost of living come down. I mean, the people of Norton have lost their supermarket, and the reason they've lost their supermarket is the level of crime and theft in that supermarket made it unviable. So now we've got elderly people trying to get groceries who can no longer sort of walk a couple of blocks to get that service, all because of what's going on in that community. So I'm a believer in listening to people. Often they have great solutions because they're in the community. They know how things work. So I think it's very important to listen. But in terms of influencing at government, I think things like working against crime is just a logical thing. And I don't see a lot of problems working in a coalition, because I think when something's logical and common sense and it's going to improve the lives of people, you know, it is a winner all by itself, unless people have, you know, other motivations. But I think we can do it. I think New Zealanders want quality of life, and my firm belief is that we can do it. And as a community together, we can make those changes.
You obviously have a strong belief in ACT principles and the ACT policies. Aren't you concerned at all that in a coalition government with National, that National's interests would tend to dominate and water down some of those policies, making it less effective for you?
I think National could attempt to do that, but one of the things I've got is a very clear message from people who are considering or who have already decided to vote ACT, and that is they see ACT as the backbone of any coalition. They see them as the people making sure that things get done, and also as the party that has come up with the practical ways to actually do it, because there's a lot of flim-flam and high-level talk, but what we need is day-to-day practical solutions that will actually work on the ground. And I think ACT has the experience and the calibre of people who've done things in the real world, you know, like worked with people committing suicide, etc., to be able to bring about those changes in ways that they can and will be accepted.
What's your last message for people listening at the moment?
Please carefully read ACT's policies. Bring me questions if you have questions. I have a drop-in every Monday night, 610 Victoria Street. I'm very interested to hear from people, but we would really love you to vote for ACT and give us an opportunity to improve everything for people in New Zealand and move forward as a unified group together.
Susan Stevenson is the ACT Party candidate for Hamilton West. Ngā mihi, Susan. Thank you for coming in and being part of Ballot Box for 23.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.